If you have your Bibles, please open up. We'll read this text again in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, this is Paul writing, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We've already spoken about the fact that God is calling us to walk before Him. Our walk is supposed to be worthy, and our worthy walk is characterized by a series of steps, by a series of characteristics that are supposed to be evident in our life as spiritual fruit. And the first one today is the word lowliness. This is not loneliness. This is the word lowliness. Big difference. To be lonely means to be alone. To be lowly is the foundation of all these other words here that we find. And they're like steps that the Apostle Paul will call us to rise up and bring us into the very presence of God. In the first half of this epistle, Paul describes the spiritual blessings we have in Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, 5, and 6, Paul describes how we can practically walk and live a godly life in this world that's totally opposed to Jesus Christ. This word is very similar to our English word humility, and it describes an attitude of your mind and an attitude of your heart. And if you notice all these other words that follow, they all dependent on the attitude of your mind. The Greek culture that surrounded Israel, the Greek culture in that the city of Ephesus was in, they had a very high view of themselves. They were very proud of their culture. They were very proud of their education. They were proud of their literature. They were proud of their philosophers. Remember, Paul, when he came to Athens, he found all of the philosophers there, and they dragged them up to this amphitheater they had there, and he said, "Now you may speak to us." And they kind of looked down on him, and they said, "Who is this babbler?" That word means, who is this man who thinks that he can educate us educated people? And so this word lowliness and humility, it is a way to describe yourself. It is a self-estimation. We all know what the word estimate means. It means to arrive at a value, to arrive at a cost, to find out what something is worth. And Paul is talking to us and wants us to evaluate ourselves to understand what our attitude is, how we see each ourselves and each other. And today let's look at three ways to evaluate our lowliness. First of all, how it applies to ourselves. Secondly, how it applies to Jesus Christ. And thirdly, how our proper self-evaluation will determine our attitude towards God. We hear a lot in our society today about self-esteem. Self-esteem is not a godly principle. Self-esteem is not a godly word. Self-abasement is. What is self-abasement? Self-abasement means to put yourself down. And we're talking spiritually in terms of how we walk before God. Very next epistle here after Ephesians. Maybe someday we'll get there. In Philippians, Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 3, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind." Here's that same word. It describes the attitude of our mind and of our brain and how we see each other. He says, "Let each of you esteem," same word, "evaluate. Let each of you evaluate others to be better than yourself." So the proper self-estimation, the proper self-esteem, if we can use that word, is to consider everybody else in the world, and especially our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ in the church, especially Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and especially God the Father who planned our salvation, to understand our position to be the lowest of all. Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. I am number one when it comes to being down on the bottom and in the gutter, in the basement. And that is the way we are to see ourselves. What does it mean to look out after the interest of somebody else? Remember, Jesus one time talked about the Roman soldiers that occupied Israel. And the Roman soldiers had the right and the privilege to walk up to a Jew and to make this Jewish person carry all of his things that he had to carry, his armor and his everything he had. As you know, they had heavy armor, metal armor, big shields. Sometimes these shields required two people to carry them because they were full length. They would protect the Roman soldier from the head to the toe from arrows that somebody might shoot at them. Okay? And the Jews, because they were an occupied country, they had to do this. And Jesus said, if a Roman soldier forces you to walk 1 mile to him, and what's interesting is they could not force you to walk 2 miles. The Romans had a law that said you can only force a Jew to walk with you and carry your things for 1 mile. But Jesus is teaching the Jews to have a right attitude towards these people and says, go ahead and walk a second mile with him. Walk 2 miles with him. Okay? There's a story about a man in China that was a farmer. And China is a very hilly country. And the main things that people eat in China is rice. And if you've ever seen a rice paddy, you know that they have to terrace properly and flood it so that it will grow properly. Rice, that's just the way it grows. Okay, and because there's many hills, you may have seen these hills where they cut grooves into the hill and so it will retain water. Well, there's a Christian brother in China, and he would go out every morning and water his rice. And this was long ago. They didn't have electric pumps, so he had a little hand pump, and he had to pump this water, and his land was uphill. It was up the hill from everybody else. And as you know, there were some people that lived below him. And so at night, the lazy neighbor would go out and poke a hole in the wall and drain all the water down into his field. And this went on and this went on. And finally, this brother comes to the pastors of the church and he says, I can't do this anymore. What will we do? And so they prayed together and the pastor read him this verse from Philippians. He says, think about his needs before you think about your needs. And so, you know what this brother did? He says, the next morning he went out, and the first thing he did is he filled up all of the fields that were down below him. And then he filled his field up, and they had no need for his water. And the next day his neighbor came to him and says, what caused you to do this? And then he had an opportunity to tell him about Jesus Christ. And that person became a Christian, and that town has a church in there now. You see, he thought and he put the interest of his neighbor above his. He could have gone to court and he could have made a big fuss and he could have had a lawsuit and maybe done that, but the neighbor would still be mad at him and would probably poke more holes and tear the wall down. But this way he did all the work for him and there was no need for his enemy to have a wrench. Jesus is the highest example of lowliness to us. Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, come to me, all of you that have a burden, and I will give you rest. Learn from me because I am lowly of mind and heart. Jesus had the right attitude of service to the people around him. He did not come for people to serve him. Jesus came to serve us and to give his life. And that's what we're going to celebrate today when we celebrate communion. Philippians 4:5-11, it's a rather long passage, read it at home. It talks about Jesus Christ in his ultimate example of humility and lowliness of mind. He became a man. God took on a human body, took on the shame, became a man. He went to the cross, bore the shame of our sin. He died for us. That was the lowest form of service that Jesus could do. And that is what Jesus calls us to. With that type of attitude in our mind as we begin to think about others being higher than ourselves, their interests being above our interests is what Paul is calling us to. The wrong kind of lowliness is the opposite of this word. The opposite of this word is pride. The opposite of this word is self-esteem. The opposite of this word is when we puff ourselves up. Love, remember Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love. Youth, you had a service on love last year sometime. So you read that chapter. It says that love does not puff itself up. Okay? It does not have a high estimation of itself. Malachi 4:1 says that the proud will be burning like a furnace. They will be like the stubble, like the straw that is thrown on a fire. Pride is the opposite of lowliness, and it destroys humility. You cannot have both at once and serve others. And so a right view of yourself is to consider others more important than yourself. Obviously, we saw that the standard is Jesus Christ. When we have a proper attitude in our mind of who we are, then we see Jesus Christ for who he is. Our example of purity and godliness and holiness. 1 John 2:6 says, let us walk like Jesus walked. Have the same attitude. The Father, the Holy Spirit, gave a testimony of Jesus Christ. Remember when he was baptized? The dove came down and the Father speaks and he says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Obey him. Walk as he did. And lastly, if we understand ourselves properly, see ourselves properly, we see Jesus Christ properly, and then we see God the Father properly. We are nothing in God's eyes. We should come to God with our sins in repentance and faith. Jesus says, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud. God will stand in your way if you have pride, but he will elevate the humble. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself. Have a correct self-esteem, a correct self-estimation, and God will exalt you when he brings you into his presence. And so humility, lowliness of mind is this first characteristic which has to characterize our life, and then all the rest of them, gentleness, long-suffering, love, unity, peace, they all follow these. May God bless his word, and we'll look at these other ideas next Sunday. Thank you. God bless his word. Amen.